Back show here.
Back show.
Who's the best show here?
Back show.
All
right,
that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza. Pizza.
I am sure.
Don't be hating on my household attire, okay? I don't go to Walmart like this.
Big O! Showtime!
Are you making it from young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. Well, there's Joel and Kudu back to DLMGs.org and IC Challenge Linux.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, go together, just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 963 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy summer.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
Hello.
All right.
How hot is Joe this week?
Oh, I'm podcasting from inside the house instead of in the garage. It's been like 105 almost every day.
Sweet.
The wife likes that freaking heat. Me, I'm like, I haven't even gone outside in the last 2 days. And I even used my Cuisinart griddler to grill dinner on instead of firing up the pit boss because I'm like, I don't want to go out in that hot and humid weather. Ugh.
I don't know. We got this thing called summer. It happens every year.
Right.
It hasn't been like overly hot here, but it's been really humid.
It hasn't. This year has not been like super hot up here. It's been like
You know, we expect a couple of days or, you know, a couple of weeks.
But this long?
Over 100 degrees every day. But yeah, once we start getting past 2 weeks, 3 weeks, yeah, it's bad. And then the UK, you know, people are busy dying right now because they don't know how to handle the heat.
It's over 80 degrees and they're melting.
Yeah.
Well, nobody has air conditioning.
No, it's like
it's over 100 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah, but somehow Europe didn't have the foresight to put air conditioning in.
They don't
their
like
homes.
They don't need air conditioning most years. It's just this year was insane.
My family's Spanish from Spain, and I've been there a bunch of times, and it gets fucking hot in the summertime in Madrid, especially. It's been like that since I can remember. So whatever.
Aye, aye, aye. I'll tell you what. The US, so the charger that came with my Pixel is great. Except the USB cord length is
too short.
Yeah, it's like a foot and a half, 2 feet or whatever. And I would like to have like another foot at least, because where I put it at night compared to where the outlet is, it just about reaches. And so if you bump it, the cable falls out or gets unplugged.
Right.
So I'd rather, you know, fix that. But I'm like, I've been reluctant to try another cable. I have to buy one, I guess. And it's always hit or miss with them sometimes, you know. Is it going to fast charge?
I buy pretty much exclusively the Anchor. I think it's Anchor Powerline 2. Mine has the fabric on the outside of the cable. Never have a problem with rapid charge.
Well, let me see something here.
I know that because I have Tech Smarter battery I picked up off of Amazon that has the full power delivery. It'll do up to 30 watts on a battery bank, and the bank itself will also rapid charge too. So I plugged the same charger that I bought for I bought the additional rapid charger that Google has for the Pixel 6 Pros, which that does up to 30 watts. But then I found another one, not Google branded, for a little bit cheaper than the Google branded one, and they both will charge my phone and anything I have at the full speed. So I can get you the actual charger brand and the cables. So, and they have the cables all the way up to, like, I think I usually get 3 or 6 foot, depends on what I want to use it for. If I plug it into the wall, I want a 6 footer. If I want to plug it into like a battery bank, I want a 3 footer. And I use in.
How fast is a fast charge?
Well, depending on the time of the day, mine will go straight up from like, you know, like 30-40%. I would say hour and a half maybe. And it does last a while, but it has the Qi charging in it too. The only time I ever use that is in my car, because my car has one built into the dashboard. But it's much faster. I do have Anker has smaller gallium arsenide charge bricks that are USB-C only. Those, I think the ones I have are 20 watters. Those will charge it relatively fast, but if I want the full fast, I need to use one of my 30 watters. Eventually, I want to get, I think I finally found one that had 4 ports, and I think each one was capable of 30, I think. I have to look.
The ones I bought say they're capable of rapid charging.
Yep.
So long as I got to see whether it's USB-C or USB-A.
Right. If you can get USB-C. The brick should be USB-C, I think.
No, wait. USB-A is the fat one, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking the brick probably is USB-C. So I need a USB-C to USB-C cable.
Yep.
And I only have USB-A to USB-C, so I gotta get different cables.
Yeah, they're like the Powerline Plus ones are a little bit more like I don't know why this says USB 2. That doesn't make sense. Anker Powerline Plus is $16.99 for a 6 footer. But I usually swear by the Anker cables. Yeah, in fact, the last ones I bought were back in last July. And they're all going strong. Although I need to pick up probably USB-A to USB, or to, I'm sorry, USB-A to Lightning. Before we went on the trip down to Lake Hope, my wife's iPad, she's like, I can't charge this. The charger won't go in. And I'm looking at it and looking at it. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. So I took it over. There's a place here called Simply Apple. It's not like an Apple store. It's like a third-party one. And because this is way out of warranty, it was a refurb when I bought it for her. And they were like, well, they'd have to send it away and it would take a week or two, and they'd have to solder it, and it would cost me $300 to repair it. And I'm like, yeah, no. So he took an extra look at it. He says, it looks like to me part of her Lightning cable broke inside of it. So lunchtime yesterday, I grabbed it and took it upstairs with me, got my pair of tweezers out, and I pried out the very end of the Lightning cable that was jammed in the port. And then I stuck in the USB a Lightning cable, and it worked fine. So I got my my spare one back, which I use for beta testing. I've got iPad OS 16 on it, but and I'm like, how in the world did you do that? It's like the very end of the tip of that Lightning cable; it was broke off in it, and it was like the part that goes around the edge of it. It was really weird. But my wife is the destroyer of iPads and iPhone cables.
Sounds like my son.
Yeah, and amazingly enough, her phone's the iPhone XR, is completely paid for, and she doesn't want another one. I'm like, that's fine by me.
So I had an interesting problem today. Well, past couple of days. This was a pain in the ass to figure out. So actually two interesting problems that both occur when I was working on the Cypress testing of our CMS, which is WordPress VIP, and that we had this interesting anomaly whereby if you use Cypress interactive mode, you can see this. It happens more so than if you're just using it through like the command line in a headless mode. That when it would go to log in the browser that comes up, and if you chose Chrome, it would go to log in the browser, which redirects to Okta, and then it's supposed to come back to the web page in our CMS on the test side of things. But what ends up happening is it would go into this infinite loop, look like it was refreshing the page, redirecting, and it just kept hitting this thing. And so the solution for that was use Electron as opposed to Chrome. And that was fine until we wanted to do some tweaking on this and try and improve the overall speed of how long it takes to do these integration tests. And one area identified was instead of every time that you would hit a page or that you would have to log in, that log in once and preserve the bookmarks or the cookies, I'm sorry, the cookie, so that you could just reuse the cookie and not have to log in. That would save a fair bit of time. You know, it adds up when you have like 20 tests that have to go on and you figure it takes, you know, 3 to 5 seconds or so, maybe a little longer to log in through the Okta and all that page stuff that needs to happen and refresh. You start saving like a few minutes, and that's kind of important when you're doing testing. Any bit that you could shave off is great. So it would end up in that loop. So we switched to using Electron, and then I go to see about implementing the cookie stuff to preserve that information, and their documentation is like, don't use the cookies functions that we provide, use the up and coming sessions and origins, because the cookie stuff is going to be deprecated. And like version 9.7, it was deprecated, and then it's going to eventually be phased out. So we were using like 6.8, when we switched up to 7.7, and then the session stuff didn't appear to version 8. And then 9, so there's 8, there's 9, they're currently on version 10. But we can't go to version 10 because it drastically changes a breaking change to how you configure it. So we could, if we wanted to make all those changes, go to, but we want to try and solve this problem first instead of having them worry about other breaking changes. So I went to 9.7, the last version of 9, and lo and behold, we ended up with the problem again. But this time it's affecting Electron when you try to log in, and it keeps refreshing and going in a circle. And what was interesting about this is we dug into it more. And the weird thing is, it's like, the way it presents itself is that you would think it's a problem with the browser. And then one of the guys discovered looking through the console logs in the developer tools is that it was complaining about the cookie not having the site. Like one of the values set, the secure site value wasn't set, so it was defaulting to the most secure, and therefore it wouldn't allow a cookie from a different domain to be set like that. So what we ended up looking at was, okay, there's a browser setting that you used to be able to do in Chrome to configure to disable that, and I think they got rid of it. But it wasn't an option for us because this is in the Cypress, and there didn't seem to be a way that we could reliably set that, even though they say it's not going to solve the problem anymore. So it's like, okay, is it a browser problem or is it a Cypress problem? Because it doesn't happen in Chrome when you visit the page, like when we use it, but it only happens inside of Cypress. And now all of a sudden it's starting to happen inside of Electron. So you're like, okay, it's browser side, but it's also Cypress side. And this all ties together with the other problem that I've been having. So come to find out that what is happening is Cypress doesn't really handle multi-domains very well. So our application, when you go to log in, you hit the page, it redirects you to Okta for the login part of it, and that redirect then includes where it's supposed to redirect back to. So when you log in over there, it redirects you back to where you originally were. And that's the way it works. So Cypress doesn't handle that very well. That it, if you try to do some cross-domain stuff like that, it gets really weird. And one of the side effects seems to be that effect it has on the browser, not setting the cookies properly because of that. And people have reported this problem, and it's just they kind of have it partially fixed, but in our case, it's not. And I kept running into that problem over and over again because I tried to then, once we went back to 9.7, which that version or 8.7 wasn't having that problem in Cypress, we knew that at some point we're going to have to try and figure out how to solve this if we ever want to go up to the more recent versions of Cypress. And so that's a problem for another day. When I went to implement sessions in Origins, I ran into that same problem, that it wasn't able to handle going to another domain on the inside. It got confused and it wouldn't work properly. So then we're like, okay, we're going to drop back to 8.7 and we're going to not use the sessions in Origins. We're going to use the old cookie method. And that way, that's number two on the docket for a future release that we got to solve, you know, figure out how to solve the problem. So I spent all day today afternoon trying to figure this out on the cookie side. And it seemed, just like the session thing, it seemed so easy to do, but it wasn't working at all, and it was very frustrating. And it wasn't until I dug down deeper into this and looking at it with some other eyes and stuff, you discover once again it doesn't like the cross domain stuff. So we're starting at the domain of gannett.test, which is what the domain is, and then it goes out to gannett.okta.com. Then it comes back to gannett.test. So you're supposed to be able to just say preserve a cookie by its name. And then to this, you could either preserve like one cookie or you could preserve a bunch of them. You could do it once. So anyway, I tried every different way I could think of and every way that I could save this. These cookies were not being saved. They would not be saved at all. And then I started debugging. And what it came down to is what was odd is it would start on gannett.test, and then when it would redirect to Okta for the login and come back, it would write the cookie, but the domain would get switched to that gannett.okta.com domain, so it was only preserving cookies in that domain. Then where the cookies in the other domain were set, it was still there in the browser and the client side, but it wasn't available and Cypress wasn't using it. So when you would actually like compare one session where you're not in Cypress with another session, you would see all these different cookies. And when I would look at the developer tools, and you can see through the whole process, it, in the application tab, you can see the cookies that are being set from the different domains. And I would see all three of the different domains in there. But then when I would go over into the Cypress side and look at what cookies were available, there was only one, and it was never preserving the cookies that we wanted. Come to find out that the cookies that we wanted are on the gannett.test domain, not on the other domain. And try everything I could possibly think of. Like, you can, an interesting thing was, is you could use the command cypress.cy.getcookies to list out all the cookies, but there's an option that's undocumented that you can pass to that command, which is an option called domain colon and specify the domain that the cookie's from. And if you specify like nil in there, not to use the domain, and just give you all the cookies, then we see all the cookies. But you just can't get it to work. It's such an annoying thing, Joel. Such an annoying thing. But I'll tell you what, the developer tools are very handy on your browser. So if you're doing any kind of web development, web application development, and you're not very familiar with those tools, you should. They can really save you some time. If you dig down into it to discover what's going on and everything.
Yep.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
We use them. I use them all the time too. And the big one I end up always using is SAMLTrace plugins.
Oh yeah. Doing, yeah. Those are,
yes.
Oh man. Those were handy too. Like when you could decode the SAML and it would show you everything. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, very handy.
Yep. Yep. It at least helps us point whether it's our EIS servers that, which are basically WSO2 servers, they have them load balanced. Invariably, what ends up happening is we've had situations where one of them was configured, but the other wasn't, because we don't really have a great way of getting at each one in the balance independently, because WSO2 sucks and there's no real way for it to handle truly being load balanced, you know. But once those are configured, though, it generally works okay. The SAML tools we use quite a bit. Now, on my little project, well, not a project for the week, is one that I'm kind of semi-helping with. One of our guys is working on, we use Datadog for all sorts of monitoring, including monitoring logs, okay? So what we discovered is our product puts out way too many logs, and we hit the limit really quickly on the daily limit on Datadog.
Yeah, we so, did the limit for what you're paying, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah. So
you can increase that limit if you just
well, what we're starting to more. Do, right? We're starting to redact some of the things. So it's like we're working on our knowledge and with our R&D and support teams to determine, is this ever going to be something we need to monitor? Plus, I also want to monitor specific errors that happen in those logs. The worst part is you really don't have those logs turned on unless they are have an actual problem, okay? But if the problem already occurred and the logs weren't on, you're not capturing it. And I can't leave them on all the time because for whatever dumb reason, the only useful mode is verbose. So like on depending on what kind of listener it is, if it's the application listener, that's probably going to be all right. But if it's the database listener, that is the most chattiest one there of all. And we'll have I sat there and looked at it, and we'll get 2 gigs worth of logs in 5 minutes. So that,
wow, what, like from one application,
from one listener? Yep.
What do you yep. what do you for one server
that yep in the verbose mode yep
once so, what is it logging binary files, like video files?
More like every transaction. You know, it'll spit out a line for every transaction that happens. So,
you know, 2 gigs of transactions?
Yep. So Datadog's probably one of the things we're using. I think another thing we're going to start working on is working on log rotation to rotate the logs off an S3. And one thing I learned as I'm studying for my the architect exam for AWS is that you can search an S3 bucket using Athena, which is another one of their tools. And what Athena essentially is a SQL query tool is what it is. So it can run a query of RDS databases. We actually have one that we have other jobs that go out and look at all the different version information on the servers, and we put them in a database. We call it Palantir. I don't know if that's an actual product or if it's something we just wrote. I think it's something. It might be something we just wrote. But it's kind of nice. I can just go to that database and say, okay, how many of our clients have Unidata 812? Okay. Oh, a lot of them. Okay. Those are the ones we need to migrate to 823 or something like that, you know? So that's one thing I've been working on and helping with this week a little bit. We have our
Palantir. Is it Palantir?
Yes.
That is a product.
Yeah, I know it's a product, but I don't know if it's actually one we use or if it's something we wrote, that we bought, I should say, or if it's something we wrote. So,
well, there is a data foundational software tomorrow developed today.
I've searched for that word before, but then I read the descriptions on their website, and I'm like, that doesn't sound like what this does.
Well,
because this looks at everything, the OS, the databases, all that to make sure of what versions we have. So, but another one, I have another one who's working on automating. Have you ever heard of a piece of software called Clean Address? You might have, you might not.
No.
Okay, so what Clean Address does, it does happen to tie into our product. Okay, but it goes out and it downloads a database from the Postal Service from the Postal Service or from Runner, who's the company that uses it.
Okay.
And then it will let you check addresses that students will put in the system to validate that it's a valid address. So we want to automate the installing and upgrading of it. So we got one of actually she was an intern turned admin. She started out as an intern. And by the way, Dan, she's the same age as my son. It makes me feel fucking old.
yeah, that'll do it.
But so what they were trying to do was they had a PowerShell script that would deliver some Unity commands, which would create dot file. All right. And one reason you want to do that from the colon prompt in the database is it will not just create the file or directory, but it will also, in the case of a regular dynamic or static file, it'll accept the block size and modulo of the file. All right. And in the case of a directory, it'll create the voc or a volume of contents pointer and the directory itself. So what I found out when working with her is you can't create say you have one directory and you want to put two directory under one directory and then another directory under two directory. You had literally have to create the parent, then the child, then the next child. And you can't do it in all one command. Which kind of sucks, but once they figure that out, once we figure that out, I think she's making some progress on it. So that's good.
What was that application called?
Clean Address.
So I'm curious, with Clean Address, did you ever try to put your address in there and see if it shows up yet?
I don't know. I don't use the data on their these colleges systems. We don't have that many of them to have it. One of them is a college out in the Southwest. And I'm trying to remember where some of the other ones are. None of them are where I came from. So, but yeah. So basically the goal is to, you know, and I don't know. I kind of get why they want to do that. They want to protect the student from entering a bad address, you know, but on the other side of that coin, I look at my experience last year. What would have happened if I would have put my address in it before it hit Google Maps and all that? I bet you it wouldn't like it and wouldn't let me put it in. So that's why I'm kind of skeptical of stuff like that, but I don't pay for it. The college pays for it, so. But if we can automate the upgrades of it, we already got it so that it automatically update the database itself. So that way, we don't have to do the update, but there you go. It's renderedq.com. That's where you can find out information about it. Not open source software, but you know, something your company may need to use at some point if you want to get a little bit better at validating that you have correct addresses. That's assuming that the post office database is right, but, you know, I digress.
Yeah, we on my side, we don't really have to do the address validation stuff. We don't handle that kind of information that would require address validation.
Right. I don't really think we do either, but or college does either, but a lot of them buy it. It's just like so many of the other things that they'll buy, you know, like everyone's encrypted this, encrypted that, but then ask that a second factor. Oh my God, you know, that's making things more difficult.
Oh, so it was my birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday, John!
Happy birthday!
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Got
mine was
old.
Last Friday.
Well, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Had some carrot cake.
That sounds excellent to me.
It was quite tasty.
Yum. I had a steak.
Oh, my wife made fajitas, so I had fajitas.
Awesome.
That works too.
I like fajitas.
Fajitas are good.
Other than that, my life's been pretty boring. It's been too hot to go do anything.
I'll second that.
Shit. Even it's too hot to wait for the sun to go down and go for a bike ride.
Go to movies. Go watch a movie.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what I did.
And you're not going to believe it.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
I don't see none of you guys are going to believe it, but I just started watching season one of Stranger Things.
That's a good show.
I haven't watched any of the new season yet. I need to.
You won't be disappointed, Joel. You won't be disappointed.
I also discovered... if you have Prime, and you have, of course, since you have Prime Video, there is a ton of old classic TV shows on there, like All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Night Court. I'm trying to think what else I saw that
was on
there.
I wasn't big on Night Court. I like the 70s stuff.
Oh, Night Court was awesome.
Yeah.
Sanford and Son.
Night Court's one of my favorites. Especially when you consider, let's see, how many of the Night Court cast has died? Harry died. Some of died during the show. Marky Post is gone.
Is Marky Post dead?
Yes, she did. She died like what, a year or two ago.
Yeah, cancer.
Yep. Oh,
that stinks.
And the guy who played
John Larroquette died.
John Larroquette died?
No, no. Wait, he's still around because he was in Librarian.
Yes, I thought. Yeah. No, Charlie Robinson, who played Mac, he's gone. So they couldn't even do a reunion. Well, actually, they are doing one. It's apparently, Melissa Rauch, who did was Howard's wife on Big Bang Theory, is spearheading it. So, I guess they're taking it to be like a sequel where apparently
or the guy that ended up playing Balky, he's still around.
Okay. Yeah, but apparently the new Night Court remake is supposed to, it sounds like it might be
well, he was on Night Court.
Well, so was Brent Spiner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his scenes are hilarious.
All the Star Trek people are on Cheers.
Played. Oh.
There's a meme going around saying that Cheers was a holodeck program on Star Trek.
Or the Orville. Considering Ted Danson plays one of the admirals in the Planetary Union.
Right. That show's been awesome. I totally dig that.
Bronson.
Pinochet.
Pinchot. It's pronounced Pinochet. Yeah.
It might be Pinochet.
Okay. Yeah. Baki Batakamis, don't be ridiculous.
What was the country he was from?
Oh, gosh.
Meepos?
Meepos,
which is near Greece.
Right.
Meepos.
Yep.
You do know that Mork and Mindy was a spinoff of Happy Days.
Yep.
Yep.
So was Laverne and Shirley.
Yep.
Joni Loves Chachi. But they don't make sitcoms like they used to make anymore at all. Lately, any new sitcom that comes out, I just don't like it.
I think the funniest show in the recent memories was What We Do in the Shadows with the Vampires.
No, are you watching the new season?
I haven't started it yet. I'm just about to.
Oh, it's so good. I love it.
That's not Staten Island, by the way. I grew up on Staten Island. That's fucking Toronto. Just saying.
They did have, like, a bunch of the Jim Brewer comedy specials on Prime Video.
Yeah, those were good.
Who is unmuted?
Me.
Not me.
Oh, okay, because you're pretty noisy, Joe. But, yeah, the Jim Brewer special is pretty good. I also watched Half Baked again. That is still fucking funny. If you haven't seen Half Baked, you should. It's got Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, that's good.
Jim Brewer and I'm trying to remember the other guy. Harlan Williams.
Yeah, another stand-up guy.
Yeah, and some dude who played. That's the only thing I've ever seen him in, the guy who played Scarface on that movie. But it's funny.
Yeah, check out the last special he released on his YouTube channel. It's pretty funny.
I'll have to, yeah.
First 20 minutes are like on fire.
I need to check out Bill Burr's new special, too.
I saw some clips from that. That was good, too.
And that's the best thing to do during the summer is sit and watch fucking streaming shit because it's too fucking hot to go outside.
Isn't that the excuse in the wintertime? It's too fucking cold. You stay inside.
I guess good point.
You go out for like a total of 3 days all year. Dude, sign up for the Mars Project.
The Mars Project?
You can watch
it. I had muted my mic. Was I still making noise after I muted my mic?
I think it's Dan.
No, I muted your mic and it stopped that noise. So you were
is it
muted.
Picking up the wrong mic?
I don't know.
Can you still hear
it
me?
Could be.
I can hear you.
It's picking up the wrong damn mic. Why is it picking up the wrong damn mic?
That's annoying.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
You shouldn't be able to. My mic is muted.
It's your PC, man.
Yeah, it's your PC mic. It's up. Switch that in Mumble.
PA view control. Ba, ba, ba.
There you go.
That's better, right?
Yeah,
it's much.
Much better.
Yeah.
You sounded like you were washing laundry.
You sound like you were in Dan's basement.
Yeah, I
true,
know.
True.
You sound like my system sounds sometimes when it's got a screwy water thing going fountains on with the wrong mount. Yeah.
Water fountains.
I'm sorry about that, guys.
That's okay. It happens to the
he's
best
okay
of us.
Well, I'm going to probably, I don't know if I'm going to do it tonight. I might turn it off and just do it tomorrow, but I've got a bimetal heat break to put in on my 3D printer because I was having a lot of problems with some heat creep. So I'm going to try that and see if that helps. Well, that and clogs between the nozzle and the PTFE tube. So we'll see if that helps it. It might. I'm also going to, one thing I'm going to do with that too is I'm also going to, after I get it on, I'm going to take, I have a can of WD-40's PTFE lubricant, which is essentially the same thing that the tube is made out of. So I'm going to spray that down the metal heat break, and that'll help when the filament gets stuck on the sides of the heat break. But we'll see. I need to start saving up for my Prusa. I'd like to get a Prusa printer soon.
How much is that?
I was about to ask.
About 800, I think. It depends on what options you order with it.
And what does that get you? Faster prints?
Well, the Prusa, I think it's a better design for one. And yeah, it can go fairly fast. One thing that the Prusa has that Creality has actually started adopting is a flexible print bed, and it's magnetic, so it sticks onto the heat bed. When the print's done, you pick it up and you flex the flexible portion of the bed, and the print just pops right off. No having to use
glass?
A blade. Well, yeah.
You can get the exact same thing on the Ender series.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you can. So that's just one of the ones I'm considering for another one. I'd love to get the SLS soon for resin printing. They're starting to up the size of some of the resin printers too. It's like what would I do if I hit, not that I'm going to, but and I only, when I buy lottery tickets, I only buy one or two, you know, but if I won it, what would I do? And I would probably build my own shop and have a print farm and then get some CNC machines and do stuff like that. Anything but what I do today.
I've been still printing Gridfinity stuff. Been enjoying that.
Okay.
Printed a little holder for all of my screwdriver bits. Printed out a Gridfinity holder for my pine sill. Oh, a couple other things. Not a lot yet, but each of those prints takes a while, and you really have to have the bed just perfectly level. And then, there's overhangs, there's supports. It has to be a pretty good setup. And then usually a lot of those prints are pretty tall, so they take a long time.
So the one I'm looking at is the Prusa i3 MK3S, and that's actually $1,099. But it has mesh bed leveling, and I think that is for the assembled version of it. You can save, yeah, If you get the kit, then that knocks about $300 off of it, for, and it's $799, but you gotta fully assemble it from basically a box of parts. So, which I'd probably be comfortable doing that, but it's like, I am, one thing I am with some of the stuff is lazy, and if I can pay a little bit extra money to have somebody put it together for me, I'll do it. So, at least then I know, like, the belts are tighter and tight enough from the get-go, you know. And that's if, that's just the single color variant of the printer. You can buy add-ons for it so that it'll do multicolored.
How many colors can it do?
That's a good question. I'm looking on their website. Let's see. The MMU2, I think it is.
You gotta get the red, what is it, the red, the magenta, the yellow, and the cyan filaments, and then it can make any color. And if you try and print something black, it uses all of them, and you go through your color twice as fast. And HP's gonna make a printer like that, and it's only gonna have like 6 inches of filament. And it's cartridge, so you have to go back to the store after you use the 6 inches and buy another one for $30, right?
Don't give them any ideas. Yeah. MMU2 is $299, and let's see, it does up to 5 materials. So the one upside of something like that, when you're in multicolor mode, it actually wastes quite a bit, because when it switches colors, it would have to purge the previous color.
Oh yeah.
So it does that in a block. So that can eat up considerably more material. But one of the cool things you can do with it is you can print PVA and use that for supports. So when your supports are printed with PVA, instead of pulling them off with a pair of pliers or something, you basically stick the whole print in a bucket of water and the PVA parts will melt off. So it makes for a considerably cleaner print,
How much does that waste in having to clean the nozzle?
See, that's the thing. Quite a bit. I've seen somewhere like it. You have a like little toy, like say like a car, like about the size of like a little Tykes toy car, you know. And the blocks are taller than it.
That reminds me of the...
Well,
back in the day, when I worked at the school district, we had one of those wax-based printers. Instead mm-hmm. of... And we tried that, because you would get free black wax, so you can print black all you want.
Phaser, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think that's the mod. Was
Tektronix Phaser.
Yep, Tektronix Phaser. But the
which
one
was bought by Xerox.
The one thing we couldn't figure out was like why was one of them like dumping its ink all the time? And come to find out that like the lab teacher wasn't aware that that was a problem. And when she'd leave at night, she'd flip the power switch, and the printer was on that circuit. And it would shut the printer off so that when they turn it on in the morning, it would have to clean out its nozzle. So it would, any of the wax,
print, yeah, blah, blah.
It would just dump out all the wax that was in the nozzles, because the way it would operate was it would preload the wax into the nozzles. There's I guess 3 nozzles or 4 nozzles, black, you know, cyan, magenta, yellow. And it would have the melted wax already in there, ready to go. And if you shut it off, and the wax would solidify, and it would have to remelt it again. That mm-hmm. was considered that wax was the ink at that point was considered no good. So it'd have to dump out what was in there that got remelted, and yeah. So that's what we discovered was going on.
Mm-hmm. The phaser 740.
Yeah, we were just ripping through wax in that place, and I was like, why this one and nobody else? Anyway, go ahead.
I hate printers.
Oh, I have to say, though, I got that HP laser printer up there, and it's still running. Like, when I go to use it, I have no problem. Apparently, like, other people in the house always seem to have a problem. Either they can't connect to it and find it, or, like, today, like, one of my daughters was printing on it, and I turn around, and the paper's all jammed up inside. And I'm like, how did you do that? She's like, oh, no, I just had it to print. I'm like, it's never happened before. Never happens to me when I print. Mm-hmm. Now, tomorrow I'll go to print something, and it'll catch on fire. But sometimes it gets a little flaky, like if it loses power or whatever, and I gotta look it up. I believe I set a static IP on address on that, so that when it connects to the network, DHCP server always gives it the same address. Otherwise, it gets weird if your system expects it to be one place and it's actually somewhere else. Yeah, they don't. Some systems don't like that. You have to go reset it up. Yeah. But yeah, I'm glad we have a laser printer because, man, I inkjet printers, I don't want to deal with those anymore. Maybe they've gotten better. I don't think so.
They haven't. No.
No, they haven't.
Just to give them the benefit of the doubt.
No, I've still got garbage.
I've got two of them. My one of them sitting up here, which I never use. It's just sitting on top of the microwave up here. I probably need to get together a whole bunch of stuff for e-waste and take it over to the fire department, or actually the township building. But it's like,
does it work?
That one probably works. I just need to find a better place to set it up at.
Take it to Goodwill, don't you know?
Yeah, or that. Yeah, one of the two.
Put it on Facebook Marketplace. There you go. Sell it.
Yeah. The one downstairs, though, is the one I actually prefer to use. The one of the things I like about it is, even though it's an inkjet, it does print double-sided. So it uses a whole lot less paper for certain things. But in most cases, I try not to print things. But the most common thing I'll print, like, for example, this week... And I already looked up, but flashfood.com is the website, but there's an app on the Android store where basically one of our local stores uses it, and they have a cooler out front by the registers and a shelf sitting next to it, and you can buy, like, groceries. Usually it concentrates on fruit. But it has have other things in it, but for like pennies on the dollar. So like, I would have got a box of, it was a mixed fruit. It had peaches, apples, and a couple oranges for like $5, which is not bad, you know. And the peaches are probably right at that good ripeness time, you know, where it's perfect to make peach cobbler for. So I made peach cobbler from fresh peaches for the first time ever. I never made it from fresh before. I usually just make it from canned, and it came out pretty decent. But what did I do? I printed out the recipe so that I don't slop a peach juice and syrup on top of my iPad or my phone. Wait.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Just to make sure, we're talking about printers.
Yes.
And you were talking that you used the printer downstairs that's double sided
to print the recipe.
To print the recipe. That has nothing to do with the Flash Fresh or whatever app that you were using.
The Flash. Well, yeah, I'm just explaining where I got the fruit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all.
Just making sure I follow
the
string here.
And hopefully y'all, somebody somewhere can take advantage of it other than me. I did pluck Hampton Roads in which is close enough to you to figure out if there's a location close to you, and I didn't see any.
I had never heard of it, so I don't think there is.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool, and it's good. It'd be a good place for, like, if you run a charity or something and you want to get some food for that charity, check that out. You know. But
speaking of food, Joel, guess what I finally broke down and made?
What'd you make?
You're not gonna guess?
I don't know.
Pho.
There you go.
Oh man, it was so good. So good.
I've got instant pho downstairs. It's okay.
I made it from scratch, man. I got the bones. I did that. It was easy. You know, pretty easy to make. Especially using the pressure cooker. It only took me like an hour to make the pho broth, and then I also got tendon, and that was interesting. Like, I was looking up and reading about tendon, and there's a couple of things. The tendon I got at the place called E-Mart. It's an international market up here. There's two of them, one in Virginia Beach, I think, and one in Newport News, which I go to. It's huge, and it has, like, almost everything that I could think of. Surprisingly, I needed to make some dashi, and I need kombu for that. And when I went there to their seaweed section, like shelves and shelves of nori, no problem. Wakabi, no problem. Like different varieties. One package of kombu, nothing else. They didn't have no other kombu, just one. You can get this one brand and that's it. No, there was no other brands of kombu or sizes or anything. I was quite surprised. But anyway, tendon was interesting. It came in like 8-inch long pieces. So it was about 8 inches long, about 3 inches wide, and about 1.5 inches, you know, deep. 2 to a package. And what you have to do is you soak it in vinegar for like at least 20 minutes, because it's supposed to soften it a little bit and also take out some of the odor. And I smelled it, and it didn't have an odor to me, right? So, but then what happens is, once you soak and get it out after 20 minutes, there are little hairs in it sometimes that you'll want to pick out. So I saw like maybe like 2 or 3 hairs on each of the tendons I have. Then you rinse it off, and salt and vinegar solution is what was used. You take it and you chuck it in just the pressure cooker with water, so that it covers it, and pressure cook it on high for, I did 45 minutes. After a half hour, it was a little crunchier than what I would like. So I did it another 15 minutes, so like a total of 45 minutes when I do it the next time. And that 8-inch tendon kind of like shrinks up and condenses into like half its size. And it's like this big round gelatinous thing that you have to slice up. But boy, man, was that was just the perfect thing in there to add to that.
Lots of fresh jalapeno in there too.
Actually, unfortunately, no. I thought I had some hot peppers. It turns out I didn't. So I only had like a little bit of a serrano pepper. So I was kind of bummed out about that. But it had the tendon. It had strips of sirloin and ribeye with it, and beef. Meatball, the Asian style beef meatball, I had that in there. So that was like a tendon beef mix. And then the broth, of course, with the Thai basil and lime and bean sprouts with it. And I got fresh rice noodles. Way overbought the rice noodles. And it was so good. My only regret was that there was 5 people that ate this, so there was like no leftover, right? But I do have half the amount of
I the bones that I bought, I used half of the amount that I bought. But what I read was recommended. Now I didn't do this time, and it tasted. Oh my goodness! The only, like, everybody was saying that was eating this was like, oh, it tastes just like faux 79 up here, but not as salty. So it didn't leave you with like that thirsty feeling afterwards,
right.
Which was good. But the recipes that I'm looking at, one of them said you should really make it with some beef brisket because it's just going to add an even more depth of flavor. But I wasn't about to buy a brisket for the first time. So it was
so good. Brisket costs a bunch.
Depending. You can get a fairly cheap brisket. Now, for making pho, I wouldn't use like a prime brisket. Hell no. Maybe, you know,
right.
Choice.
Yeah, you want to smoke that
prime
shit,
but... Although yeah, I did, a couple weeks ago, I picked up some corned beef right after St. Patrick's Day. When it was like really reduced in price.
Right.
So you get it like a third of the price. So I picked up a couple of those. I smoked one. It was all right. Right. I thought it got a little too dry.
Yeah, that probably would.
The other one I did for like 9 hours or whatever it was in the sous vide. And oh my goodness, that was so good.
That had to be tender as hell.
Oh, that was so good. My wife was like, this is like the best corned beef I've ever had. It was so good. I was really impressed.
Now, my other cooking adventure other than the peach cobbler was the wife wanted mac and cheese. And she said that at the grocery store. So I'm like, okay, got my phone out, searched for a recipe. And she's like, well, you just get a box of Kraft. I'm like, that is garbage. I'm like, I'm like, I've never made mac and cheese from scratch before, but they did this time. And let's see, how many cheeses did it have? It had mild and sharp cheddar. It had mozzarella and Munster. Yeah. And that was all the cheeses, and then the rest of it was just you made a roux and
a bechamel sauce.
Yes, yeah. and that and the only thing that I'm gonna do differently is my wife was like, "Well, buy enough to make two like a double batch." And I'm like, "That's a lot of fucking macaroni. That's 2 pounds of macaroni." Yeah, we still have some leftover downstairs.
If you would have made a double batch, man, you would have twice as much left over, maybe even three times as much left
over. Well, I know we had enough to eat on for 3 or 4 days. In fact, I don't think I think there might be enough for one person to have it, but I'll probably need to get rid of it. But it's like next time I'm just making a single batch because you know that's not supposed to be the main dish, but you know, that's something too. That's also something too. That if I do it again, like I might do for something like Thanksgiving, for a side dish or something, and I could do that like a day or so before and just warm it up in the oven, and it would still be fantastic because it was so good. All those cheeses. It's got me thinking I might want to try switching up some of the cheeses, like maybe put some Parmesan in it to get a little more bite. You know, but. It still came out really good. Or maybe throw some bacon in it.
You know, my mom always loved on macaroni and cheese was stewed tomatoes. I did not like that at all.
I don't get that.
I don't either.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's...
You guys don't like stewed tomatoes?
I don't really like stewed tomatoes. Maybe it was my bad experience from when my mom would make it with macaroni and cheese. I love tomatoes every other way. I'm not a fan of tomato soup, and I'm not a fan of stewed tomatoes. And those are two things that my mom used to try and feed me as a young kid, and I did not like them. So maybe I like it if I tried it now.
Well, maybe. Well, it's like one thing that I'll never eat. We ate
apparently
a lot.
Joe likes stewed tomatoes.
Yeah.
I like food.
Food in general. One thing I'll never eat again, though, is
except
my dad.
For macaroni and cheese. I freaking hate macaroni and cheese.
I can see how you can. If you don't like cheese, if you don't like life.
I like cheese. I hate macaroni and cheese.
But mom always used to make liver and onions, and when I was a kid, we had to eat it because that's the only thing she would make. She'd make it for the entire family, and she'd even choke some down too, but I don't think she liked it either. But my dad freaking loved liver and onions, and I'm like, good, I'm out of your house. I don't have to ever eat that shit again because it's shit. I wouldn't like sweet, like just plain sweetbreads either. But well, ironically, though, like if you give me some fried chicken gizzard, oh yeah, I'll eat the heck out of that. But that liver is just too gamey for, like, ugh, I don't like it. Venison, on the other hand, I'd love to find somebody who hunts and see if I can't pay him for some of the meat. Turkey, too, is pretty decent, too. But a lot of people ruin turkey, though, when they cook it at Thanksgiving.
They kill it. Overcook it.
Yep. They wait till that fucking button comes up.
What you should do is get rid of that thing. That's the first thing you should do.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I actually probably should look at getting another digital thermometer. Debating whether I want to get like the wireless ones where I can just stick it in the bird and just remotely check it. That way I don't have to open up the oven. But I'm trying to think, did I do a turkey this year? Yeah, I did a turkey this year. Yeah, and in Easter I did a ham. It's one of my favorites, and you know, a lot of people like when they make there's I have my own stuffing recipe, and it's not I don't really measure anything. It's all the taste when I make my stuffing, but I also make it out of fresh bread instead of like the breadcrumb shit you get at the grocery store, like Stovetop or anything like that. You know, have that, let me put fresh bread in there and you'll have the best stuffing you'll ever taste. And I do stuff a bird, and I don't care what anybody says. That's the best way to eat turkey and stuffing. Not too much longer before that when you really think about it. Because it's like in a week or two, it's going to be August already. Put my time off in for that.
For Thanksgiving?
No, for Christmas. Thanksgiving, I'll probably just do it here. But I may see if I can take extra time.
I'll just take 4 weeks off in a row.
I wish I could do that.
I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I have the time, but there's no way they'd let me.
Yep. Yeah, I might see if I can't go down early. What I may do instead of the hotel room is get like an Airbnb or something. There was a rumor that my nephew was going to move out of my dad's house, then I'd have a place to stay. Because he's pretty much taken over the other two bedrooms. He sleeps in the bedroom that we used to sleep in, and then what used to be like the little kids' play area when they were all little is where he has his gaming stuff set up. But he hardly ever talks to my dad.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah. So there was Cutefish OS. I think we talked about it a few weeks ago. And I think they're done.
What happened to them?
I saw a story. Let me look it up real quick. There we go. Why can't I find it? I can't find it. But the other Linuxy kind of thing I did find this week, and that one's probably going to be easier to find. Claudio shared it on LinkedIn about ASAHI Linux. They already have it working on the M2 Max. Which just came out.
So it's gone and it just came out?
No. This is a different Linux. I can't find anything on Qtfish. But SI Linux is already got it working on the M2 Mac. They're still alpha at this point. They're not even in beta. So it's going to be your mileage will vary kind of thing if you happen to have an M2 Mac. In October is when I should be getting a MacBook Pro with the M1 Pro. And no freaking touch bar.
Well, that's good because I hate the touch bar.
Real function keys.
Oh, you know what? Another thing that I partook in a few weeks ago, my daughter wanted it.
Yes.
Was the Hot Ones Pringles.
Which one? The Los Calientes?
Oh, I didn't know there was more than one. I just
there are.
And yeah. They were pretty, they were, you know, on the hotter side of a chip that I've had. They weren't unbearable. My daughter said they were unbearable. She was drooling at the mouth and had to go lick the faucet for a little bit. And also, I think I may have tried all the new flavors by now of Mountain Dew. Because I'll get one every weekend, take a few sips out of it, and then give it to one of the kids just to try it.
Right.
I don't think I've finished one yet. The last one I had was the Baja Blast.
Okay.
Blueberry, or the blue one. Was that a Baja Blast flavor, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Not the blueberry, the blue raspberry, I think it was. It tasted all right. I mean, it wasn't bad. What I found interesting was that I drank a quarter of it, and my wife had some to taste, and my daughter had some to taste. And I put it in the refrigerator and forgot about it for a week and a half. And the other day I saw it in there. I'm like, I got to get rid of this. And it was flat. So I just decided to take a taste. It tastes like one of those freeze pops.
Yeah.
It was very...
I imagine, yeah.
But what the other ones I've had... the Major Melon and... All the you know what, I think I had the pineapple one, but now I have to double check. Is it good?
Pineapple one? I haven't had it yet.
Oh. But yeah, they just keep cranking them flavors out, don't they?
Yep. Yeah, of the Hot Ones Pringles, there are the classic, which is supposed to be very similar to just regular wing sauce. Then Los Calientes, Rojo. Which is that's one of their sauces as well. And then the other one is Los Calientes Verde, so which is a green version of the Los Calientes sauce. So it's two Los Calientes sauces. See, the thing is on those Hot Ones is that's actually one of the sauces they actually sell. You can actually buy it, just like the Apollo Last Dab is, which I'm too chicken to try that shit.
You know what? The chip was kind of greenish. So I think it was
okay, so probably the Verde, right?
Yeah.
Which that one, I wouldn't think that would be too hot because usually a Verde sauce isn't very hot. It's more the tomatillo flavoring you get.
Yeah, I will say, while it was fairly spicy for a chip, it didn't really taste that great. It's not something I would want to eat, like, a bunch of them.
Again, right? Yeah. My favorite they ever had of the Pringles was, I think it was the cheeseburger ones they had. Those and the cheeseburger Doritos. Those were both yummy.
Oh, yeah. The cheeseburger? Oh, yeah.
I mean, I like some of the Doritos flavors they have now, but I'm just not as... I try not to buy too many chips.
All right, guys, I'm going to cut out a little bit earlier.
Oh, yeah, we got...
Okay, well, it's almost the end anyway.
Yes, yeah. Stay cool.
I'll talk to y'all later. I'm going to try. But
take it easy. Now, my wife who was at the pool the other day said that the water is starting to get, it's still nice, but it's starting to get a little warmer. Getting close to bath water. Now, yeah. I, on the other hand, have spent the past couple of days going to the beach down here, and the water has been perfect. It was so beautiful today. I went twice this morning. That's how nice it was.
There you go. There you go. I need to see. I'd like to go maybe on a camp out before it, maybe a weekend before it gets too cold. I don't know if we're up for it yet. Because the next time I go, I'm going to try and plan one that's a little a little bit. I don't mind if it's out in the woods and all that, but just a little bit closer to civilization than this was. Because, the closest store to get anything, if you needed to get some food or something, was 10, 15 miles away. You know, not horrible, I guess, but, you know, it's like you don't want to go to a state park to go and drive all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
And then find one where the beach is at least on the same side of the camp as the cabins or tents are. See, that's a nice thing. Kelly's Island is the way they got their state park area laid out is just really nice because it's an island, so everything's right there. And everything's really close. You can walk from the campground to the beach and go swim in Lake Erie if you want. Which I don't. I'm not. I don't like swimming in a lake. Oceans, okay. Lakes are usually kind of dirtier, I think, than oceans usually are. Unless you get too close to civilization, like if you go swimming in the beach at Atlantic City, that's probably pretty nasty there.
Now, I will say, I never heard of somebody getting one of the brain-eating amoebas from the ocean. You get them from nice, different kinds of lakes and quarries.
Freshwater.
Yep. So, I don't know. I like swimming in lakes. I've done it.
Yeah, it's okay. It just depends on how clean the beach and stuff looks. And Lake Hope, I'll say it wasn't horrible. You know, it's probably one of the few lakes I saw. Some of the lakes in Ohio get algae pretty bad, especially late in the summer, and that can be toxic. So, not something I'd recommend. But I will say this, that was interesting because when we were down there, we drove into Nelsonville, you'd go right past Jellystone is a campground chain, and you go past one of their camps, which is more of an RV camp than a tent camp, but they had this wicked water slide going into their little pond they had as part of the campground, and it looked like a lot of fun. Floaties out in the middle of the pond too, which is pretty cool. But one of these days I need to get an actual camper. I think I'd love that. It's a great thing about doing an RV or a camper. You can cook outside just like you do with a tent. That's my favorite part of going camping is cooking on the fire. You know, either directly on the fire or just on the stove outside. I love doing that.
It's good times. Do you have a fire pit at your your place?
Not yet. Although I'm kind of keeping an eye out. The Kroger's that's the closest to our house is one of the marketplace ones, so they have things other than groceries. And they had brought in for Father's Day those Solo stoves, which are those portable fire pits. That's normally $300. The price Kroger had it was $278, and I'm kind of waiting till they decide to reduce it even further, because I bet you I can get one for about, I would say between $150 and $200 before the end of summer. Because I'd love to do that, just do that and go grab a stack of firewood and set up a fire between the screen room and where I have the grill. Perfect, especially as we're starting to roll into fall. That's a really good time to go just hang out outside because it's comfortable. It's not, oh my god, hot and humid. I'm packed to go deer hunting.
Yeah.
But
we gotta start wrapping it up.
Yes, we do.
Good sleep.
Got at least one more show in July.
Yeah, one more show. It's pay week this week. Good times. Who doesn't love money, right? What we got?
I don't love money, but it's necessary to live and to fill my freaking car up. Fortunately, it has started to go down lower, but it's not anything to celebrate yet. I have to look at gas, buddy, and see what we're at now.
Yeah. All right. Here are your promos and everything. We'll see you in a week. Thank you very much. And bye-bye. Stay cool. Eat it up, Joel.
I am short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Daddy, that's a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg poo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. When does Maverick hit like the streaming services? Because I really don't. I want to see it, but I don't want to go to a theater.
And, you know what? Good question. I have no idea. Probably another.
Yeah.
Is it still in the theaters? But when did it come out?
I think it is.
It's usually like 6 to 8 weeks after it comes out, isn't it? Or maybe 3 months.
That's what I thought. I have seen it up for pre-sale, like to buy it. But I did see that the new Doctor Strange was already on Disney Plus. It must not be very good. I heard that the new Doctor Strange was more like a Scarlet Witch movie. Anyway.
So, I liked the new Doctor Strange. It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose the new Thor probably is fun too, because Taika Waititi is just a different kind of a filmmaker than the other ones were for the other Marvel films.
I liked it. It was good.
Yeah. I still haven't watched Black Panther at all.
That's really good.
I did watch Black Widow and Marvel, or Captain Marvel. Those were good. Yeah, I don't feel like tearing my printer apart tonight. I'll probably do that tomorrow on my bachelor night. And maybe order me up some Way Down Yonder. Get some jambalaya or something.
There you go.
Oh, or some crawfish etouffee.
Ah, love crawdads. I gotta stop recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Goodnight, Joel. There we go.
Got what?
The hose up the butt. Colonoscopy.
Wow. I just got my results back.
You normal?
Yes. But I was surprised how long it took to get the results back. I was going along thinking that if I would have gotten results, bad results, they would have contacted me, and they didn't contact me. And then lo and behold, the phone rings and I see it's a gas, and I'm like, uh-oh, what's this mean? And they're like,
Dan's like, oh shit.
It was like a weird phone call too, because they're like, yeah, the results of, because they found like two polyps, like they always do, or they find right. those things, and the results, they came back normal, nothing, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's good, so like, there's nothing to worry about, and they're like, nope, you're good, everything's fine, we'll see you again in 5 years, and I'm like, okay, is that it? And they're like, yeah, uh-huh. And I said, okay, thanks, bye.
They told you five, they told me ten.
Yeah. Oof. Let me ask you this. I do have a question for you, Dan. Did you go, like, after you got back home, did you actually get on and do work? Were you able to?
I could have, but I didn't.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm debating. I would entirely skip the day, but of course they scheduled some meetings, and it's like, But at least all I have to do is sit there and have a headset on and bullshit like I'm doing now.
I don't know how you'll take to the anesthesia. I guess everybody's different. Like, when I walked out of there, my wife said I was a little goofy, and it was probably good that I wasn't driving or anything like that.
Right.
But I didn't notice it. I went home, ate, and just hung out.
And for sure you ate, because by the time you got home, you're probably fucking hungry.
Yeah. Although it wasn't like it stank, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But I was sick and tired of pooping out that the Gatorade or whatever you decide to mix that Miralax or whatever that is with.
The nasty stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Good time, Joel. You're going to have a fun time.
And my wife, it's kind of funny because they're sitting, even though we both go to the same doctor, we in fact see the exact same doctor, me and my wife. And hers is scheduled in like November, sometime.
Huh?
And for hers, they said they're going to try and call in the prescription first for the prep to all be prescribed, you know, like prescription strength. But that if they can't get the insurance to pay for it, to just get the over-counter. Mine just said just get the over-counter. you know.
Yeah, I wasn't even given a choice. It was like, just here's a list of things to get at CVS. Yeah,
Miralax and what's the other shit? I can't remember. I got it. I have the list. I just haven't thought about it because I know I got a little bit of time to go get that shit. But yeah, I assume that evening I probably won't. We won't leave the toilet. I only hope I can get a little sleep that night.
I had no problem sleeping. I did wake up, I think, once and hit, but you're like, you have to get up, like, depending, what time's your appointment?
I think we have to, I have to get there, like, around, I have to go back and look, I think 8:30 I have to get there by.
Yeah, so they're like, I think you gotta get up around, like, 5, 6 o'clock or something, and do, like, the last bit of the treatment, and
yeah, I have to look at mine.
Have to drink anything for, like...
They gave me the alternative of having it in the afternoon, and I'm like, hells to the no. I'm like, we have it done the first thing in the morning so I get it over with so I can just get back to normal. You see, I have, with my metformin, I have a hard enough time staying off the pot because every once in a while, if I have a really fucked up diet that day, guaranteed I'm going to have to get on the crapper and squirt.
I'll tell you what. What was it, Monday? I shit four times on Monday, man. I was just rolling through the fiber. I was like, damn.
I made some peach cobbler this week, and it was delicious. Out of fresh peaches. I never made it out of fresh peaches. I usually use canned.
Oh, I don't know. It's hit or miss, man. Sometimes fresh peaches are the best thing in the world. Sometimes you wish you had the canned.
This one, they had where I found the recipe, actually had a really easy way to remove the skins. You boil the peaches, you know, like two or three at a time in boiling water for about 30 seconds, and then you plunge it into an ice water bath. And then once you can handle the peach again, you basically pick up and just literally just rip the skin right off with no tools. You can do it with your fingers. And you just cut it open and pit the peach and slice it up. I got some apples downstairs too. See, I had them. I don't know if it has it down in Virginia. I don't know how many stores are doing this, but there's a app by the name of Flash Food. If you go in the app, you can literally, they have these, like my local Meijer has a cooler and a shelf where they'll put the stuff for Flash Food, and it's like deeply discounted. And the very first time I used it, it actually gave me my entire order for free. So I got like a box full of, it had like an orange, like two or three oranges, peaches, and apples. And a box of it said ultimate oatmeal cookies, but they were just plain oatmeal cookies, like not even any raisins in them or anything. But they were all right, you know, for cheap. So it's kind of random. It's mostly based on what they need to move right away, like, and it's very produce heavy. So you'd probably be into it more than I am. But it just depends on if the store down by you has it or not.
Ugh. All right. Everybody ready?
I'm ready.
We're going far away. This is 963, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, 963.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Joe there? I mean, I see he's there.
Nope,
there.
I'm not here.
All right, good.
No, he's hiding.
Get rid of the dead weight. Right. All right, here we go. This is 963. Fire it off.